thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Ray Jeezy, Will T is out, part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. Make sure you check us out on sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV sports teams, your favorite DMV sports teams like the Washington Capitals, the Washington Wizards, and the Washington Football Team. Also, the Washington Nationals. Can't shortchange that team. But what's going on, Ray Jeezy?
What's up, world? As Will T used to say back in the day, when I was just saying that. I was just saying that all is well, feeling blessed, although my
time for me to be in the city on Inauguration Day, which was stupid. I didn't realize back when I was setting my schedule that I would be right there on North Capitol Street tomorrow. And I don't know how this is going to work based on the road closures.
Wow.
But I have to be in the city with all that's going on. But hopefully I'll be able to get out pretty quickly. Yeah. Or at least safely. That's the most important
part. Most importantly, it's all about being safe. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the most important thing. But God will. Well, definitely you will. In Jesus' name, you'll be safe. But yeah.
Okay, we starting to show up with a prayer.
Hey, bro, man, look, man. I may not say it all the time, but my faith is strong. But yeah, bro, like it's a lot going on. I mean, hockey season's back. You know what I mean? We haven't done hockey in a while. We're gonna do that on the show. Also, we're not gonna mention it on this show, but on our Washington Football Team podcast, all burgundy and gold, everything. That's a cheap plug. We'll talk about the Washington Football Team hiring their new GM on that show. So make sure you go on your, wherever you search for a podcast, go search all burgundy and gold, everything with the Urban Sports Scene, and check out our latest show. We'll talk about the Washington Football Team hiring their new general manager. But also subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. Tune in now and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. You know, Ray has said something that Will T used to say. I'm going to say something that Will T normally says when he's on the show. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about which free agent wide receiver should the Washington Football Team target at 8:20. We'll talk about James Harden being traded to the Brooklyn Nets. At 8:38, we'll discuss the NFL playoffs. Finally, we'll talk about the start of the Washington Capitals season. WNST Caps insider Ed Frankovic will join us to talk Caps. But first, after watching the Washington Football Team all season long, it's obvious, it's pretty obvious, that this team needs a number two wide receiver. Ray, which free agent wide receiver should this team target?
I'm about to shock you and the world with this answer, but guess what? I'm going to say none. You sent me this distinguished list that starts with Will Fuller, big name. I mean, obviously, that dude had an awesome season before. Unfortunately, he went out on suspension. AJ Green, of course, is another big name who, you know, his ability, but it appears as though, based on reports, that he's being pushed out in Cincinnati, or phased out, I should say. And he had asked earlier, from what I understand, to be traded earlier in the season, but out of respect for him and what he's done for that franchise, the franchise decided not to make a move midseason. Mm. I'm not going to name every name that you sent me, T.Y. Hilton included. However, I'm going to say none, and here is why. Because right now, we like to see what works in terms of success. We watch it in all sports. In basketball, so many teams are trying to recreate what the Warriors built. In football, we saw when Legion of Boom was in its prime, people wanted to build their teams. The Jaguars, the Falcons, they hired coaches. When the Ravens defense was the best in the league, Rex Ryan and Marvin Lewis, they got jobs off of what they did in Baltimore. So now, we have two teams I'm going to name as great examples. One is my Atlanta Falcons. The season's over now. I can talk about my team. So you drafted Calvin Ridley in the first round,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you go get Russell Gage in the sixth round. They're looking like a pretty good receiver core, young receivers that you are molding. And Calvin Ridley eventually is blossoming into a number one receiver, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm thinking that if Ron Rivera, based on what he said, is looking to build a winner over the course of his time here, you need to develop young talent. So you need to take a receiver in the first round, and then you need to take a receiver later on. I'll give you another example. Michael Gallup, he was drafted in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
CeeDee Lamb was drafted in the first round. They looked pretty darn good together.
Yeah.
This is the formula right now that's working. And if you're Ron Rivera and you are true to what you're saying, you want to build a team, then don't waste your time with free agents. You have Terry now, who I feel is a veteran, right? He's a veteran now. I feel as though he can. This is his third year. It's going to be his third year in the league. And okay, we can argue about whether he's a veteran, but he's now a leader on his team. And I feel as though he can mentor some young receivers. That's the direction I would go in.
See, you said a great point about, you know, a veteran. I just think this team, this unit needs a wide receiver that's done it before at a high level consistently to teach some of the young guys who they do draft. Like you mentioned, you know, having Gage and Ridley, but they had Julio. You know what I mean? That's a dude you can learn from, who's been in the league, who's been very successful, who's had phenomenal postseason games. I mean, the Super Bowl when he played against the Patriots, you saw what he did in that game. Julio's been doing it for a while, and he learned from Roddy White. So it's always like, to me, like a young wide receiver who's taking his game to the next level is always learning from somebody. You got, for instance, even in Minnesota. Look, I think the kid's name is Jefferson. I think it's Jefferson. I'm not sure, but he's learning from the kid from LSU. I think it's Jeffries, and not Jefferson. Maybe Jeffries, but he's learning from Adam Thielen. You know what I mean? Like, you learn from guys who've done it before at a consistent level. So I just feel like this team needs a receiver that and I'm not saying he has to be like old, but that's why I kind of favor, you know, AJ Green. I'm probably a minority with it because I know his age. AJ Green's in his 30s, and that's not ideal for a lot of, you know, fans. They want a younger wide receiver who's a free agent, and there's a lot of young wide receivers who are free agents. But it's good to have like a guy like AJ who runs great routes, somebody Terry can learn from, bounce ideas from, and even, you know, some of the other younger wide receivers that they drafted or who they're going to draft, they can learn from them. Because wide receivers, some of the top wide receivers that we know today, they've learned from vets. This Washington football team has kind of did it backwards. They didn't get an opportunity to learn from a vet who's done things the right way and who's played football at a high level. That's one of the main reasons why, when we talked about it in the past, why I wanted this team to get Dez Bryant. Just somebody they can learn from. It doesn't matter. It didn't mean that he had to play at the highest level at that particular point in time. Though, coming to get the guy, AJ, I mentioned AJ Green, a guy I mentioned, to me, I think still has more in the tank, but it's a guy that they can learn from. So I just think that this unit, whoever, you know, some of the guys, whoever, if they do draft the guy, they're still going to need a vet who's done it at a high level.
I'm not going to disagree. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to it. I love your points. AJ Green, in my opinion, would be a good, actually a good acquisition. But again, based on what I've seen and based on what Ron Rivera has put out there in terms of what he's trying to build, and now bringing on a new general manager, I feel as though you need to go young. I feel as though Terry's in a place to serve in an Adam Thielen type of role. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned Gallup and I mentioned CeeDee Lamb. They have Amari Cooper, right?
Yeah.
And he can serve as that guy. Amari Cooper is super talented. He also, you know, came from a different situation, so he could teach him about being appreciative and being in a good offense and within good structure. Adam Thielen is the one that's on the table for me. I feel like Scary Terry is comparable to him. Maybe Scary Terry hasn't achieved as much as Adam Thielen, but I feel as though he can serve in that role as Adam Thielen does with Justin Jefferson. I like the comparison. I love what you're saying. I don't think there's no right or wrong answer here. I'm just giving you my opinion terms of what I feel should happen. Although, again, if, let's say, AJ Green or Curtis Samuel's brought in, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed or, you know, try to argue or debate you guys about it.
No, I think there's guys. I mean, there's a lot of, which is the good thing about this list. There are a lot of guys that to me are quite that can help this team win football games, right? There's a lot of good guys. I mean, guys on that list. And if they wanted to go, I mean, they have the opportunity, like you said, to go the draft route, and definitely draft the wide receiver if the wide receiver they want's available. Looking at a guy like I mentioned, AJ Green, I feel like AJ Green could possibly, because his age and, you know, his injury history, he's a guy that you know, if you're trying to gauge things from the draft, he's a guy that may be available after the draft. There's a possibility with that. Some of the other guys I don't know would be. I know that a lot of Washington fans like Galladay, who plays for who played for Detroit last year. Super talented kid. You know, I think he has a lot of ability. Would be an awesome acquisition if they got him. Young guy, like you mentioned, Ray. A young guy who's proven. That's a guy that you can probably bring in. It's going to cost you some money, right? It's going to cost you some money. I know all Washington fans want. It seems like all Washington fans want Allen Robinson out of Chicago, who plays for the Chicago Bears. He wasn't happy with his contract. But you know, I think it'd be a great compliment to Terry, to Scary Terry. He's a good route runner. He gets open. So you know, you have two good route runners on your team, and Ray, you've seen it because you know Julio and really runs great routes. Like Gage is learning from Gage. It seems like he runs good routes. So you know, when you have, to me, I'd rather have a route running wide receiver over a guy who is just one dimensional, because I know a route running wide receiver can break down even the most talented cornerbacks.
Okay, now Amari Cooper obviously is a good route runner as well. These Bama boys are good route runners.
No, bro.
you just named Ridley and Jones.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that you might want to go to Bama route in the first round at receiver.
Of course. I'm serious.
And I think that based on what we've seen from Alabama receivers, it will be a good addition to your team, not just because it will provide, you know, big playability, but, again, it's also – folks who are coming in season from a great program, a winning tradition, and are ready to add to a team that already has Bama guys on defense as part of that core.
Yeah, and you mentioned Amari Cooper. The team tried to get Amari last season. Like, they tried to get Amari. He didn't want to come
here.
It's funny. Like, so to me, it's like, off of that alone, Ron isn't happy with his wide receiving core. That we do know. Like, depending on, and he's willing, if he was willing to go the Amari route last season and he couldn't get Amari, there's a chance that he's probably thinking free agency. Like, there's a chance that he would go the route of signing a wide receiver just off of last season.
Listen, brother, it is important for you to get this right, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just important to Terry McLaurin, it's important to Antonio Gibson and those coming out the backfield, McKissick included. You have two right now, at least two good pass catching backs who make it difficult on other teams if you have other threats at the wideout position, similar to New Orleans. New Orleans is so hard to cover. Alvin Kamara gets great matchups because they have good wideouts, and they've always historically had strong wideouts. Now, you don't need to have a star number two. We know that. Robert Meacham, was he a star?
No.
But when you have that really good number one, or elite number one, as Terry is, and you compliment him, and you have good pass catching backs in the backfield, this offense could now be the piece that could finally finish off what was started this year with a really strong defense, a really strong young defense.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't ignore offensive line also, because if you can't block, it won't matter.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's a fact. So I posted on Twitter, you know, what free agent wide receiver should this team target? My man Taj Wilson said Allen Robinson. There's a lot of Allen Robinson. The Burgundy Zone said love Adam Robinson, but I don't think he'll be coming here. Davis, Galladay, and Green. Then Green. I like Davis. Davis, who plays for the Titans. I love him. Like, he's a physical wide. He's a physical wide receiver. He plays big. And he's an awesome, to me, he's a real good deep play, big play wide receiver in terms of stretching the football field. So, and he plays physical. I think they need a wide receiver who's very physical after the catch. I think he would be a good one. And I'm not sure. I mean, and he's young, so it fills your thought process too in terms of bringing another young guy here to DC. My man Fred Weber said T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. He's in his 30s. I don't know about T.Y. I like T.Y., but I'm not sure about T.Y. My man Greg from UMS said Robinson's too expensive. Corey Davis, one of the Detroit wide receivers, Smith-Schuster, and Curtis Samuels in that order. The only thing about Curtis Samuels that I'm not really big on is that he's a gadget wide receiver to me. And we're talking about number two. If you need a number, you need a number two. You need a guy who's going to create havoc for that, you know, against the opposing defense who gets open often. I just talked about route running and, you know, making sure that individual gets open, more of a possessionary type of dude that, you know, if Terry's not having it, he's out there getting, you know, he's out there making life easy for Scary. So I'm not sure about Curtis Samuels, but everybody else, I mean, like I said, I like David Smith Schuster. I don't know, man, him in the locker room may be an issue.
Well, I agree with T.Y. Hilton. I think his best days are behind him. Mm-hmm. And one of my close friends is a Colts fan, and he's already said T.Y. Hilton is done based mm-hmm. on his assessment, and he watches them very closely. My thought is, if you're not going to go for A.J. Green, the mentor type, mm-hmm. because look how Adrian Peterson was. He was very effective for the young guys, mm-hmm. except for one, unfortunately, and that guy is no longer with the team. But that's a whole other subject. But if you're not going to go that, you know, veteran, older, wisdom type of guy, then to me, you have to go for the youngest, most durable. But that is going to cost you, as somebody pointed out. It's amazing. Nobody else has my take. I think you need to build. And if you're Ron Rivera and if you're an incoming GM who obviously you worked with before, mm-hmm. then you know what happens when you build. The Carolina Panthers, within a 10-year span, they made two Super Bowls, you know, with guys like Deshaun Foster and I can't think of everybody.
What you talking about? Before Ron with Fox?
I'm talking about Ron.
Julius Peppers. You got Julius Peppers.
I'm just saying on offense. You had a running game that, you know,
Steve Smith.
Yeah. You know, guys that D'Angelo Williams obviously was a really good player.
Good draft pick,
I'm just saying, you built through the draft and it paid dividends. And I feel like Washington should follow that blueprint.
Yeah.
The two guys who were formerly in Carolina, which showed that it worked. I'm missing one other name that is and is driving me nuts right now. Jonathan Stewart. There we go.
John Stewart.
You built a team with strong players that, to me, you know, it was like low risk, high reward.
Yeah, definitely you can do that. I just feel like, I mean, you could definitely still do it. You could just do it. I mean, you still get most of your skill players from the draft. There's no rhyme or reason. A lot of some
there
teams
were veterans there. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. You can still build your team through the draft, and you can just sign a player or two or whatever. But yeah, I feel you. Like, definitely this team needs to do most of their work in the draft. I don't think any fan or anybody listening to the show would disagree with that point. All right. Last week, the Houston Rockets traded James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. We'll talk about the mega deal after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, you dig? Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray and Wole. Will T is out, part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. All right, last week, the Houston Rockets traded James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets for Caris LeVert and three first rounders. The Rockets then traded LeVert to the Indiana Pacers for Victor Oladipo, center Jaren Allen, and forward. Torian Prince were traded from the Nets to the Cleveland Cavaliers, while the Rockets received Cleveland guard Dante Exum. Altogether, the Rockets got like four future first round picks in the deal. Will this move put the Nets over the top?
That's an interesting question, and I promise you I'm going to answer it.
It's all good.
I want to say real quick that this is a tidbit, that athletes today, and we know this anyway, have too much power. I want to point this out because we all watched The Last Dance. That was the main thing to do for sports fans at one point during quarantine, and as this virus began to ravage this country. And we saw what Scottie Pippen went through. He had to endure a lot of bullcrap, money-wise, from the general manager in Chicago, from the superstar player next to him. And yet, this man worked through that to play and win a championship. And later, he left and got paid. Mm. James Harden's situation was not that bad in Houston. It was nowhere near as bad. And the team brought a good young coach and good pieces to complement him. Christian Wood, look at what he's doing, John Wall.
Yeah.
And yet, still, this man behaves this way. I know that NBA players and former NBA players say he's happy now, and that's the most important part. Even though he recognizes and many recognize he can handle it differently, I still think it was the wrong move. But you ask, will it put the Nets over the top? We're talking about the Eastern Conference, or are we talking about a championship?
Let me clarify that real quick. All about championship. This is what they. This is why they made the move.
So right now, the defending champions are the Los Angeles Lakers. Can KD Harden and Kyrie Irving, along with some complementary pieces such as Joe Harrison and PG's own Jeff Green, can they defeat the Los Angeles Lakers in a seven-game series is the question that comes to mind when I look at this. And I want to say, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But will it put them over the top? I don't think so, because you were the one that really stressed to me when this trade first happened that chemistry cannot be developed this quickly. And we saw that with the Miami Heat's big three in their first season, even though they were clearly the most talented team in the league. And I think that just like with the Clippers last year, chemistry will be an issue when you get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just feel like, I think that, to me, there's an opportunity for them. I mean, I think they have a chance to win it all. Like, don't get it twisted. I'm not going to say they don't. To me, the big elephant in the room is how, you know, James Harden and Kyrie Irving play together. That's, to me, the big elephant in the room. I don't have an issue. I never thought it would be a problem with James Harden and Kevin Durant. Like, they vibe each other. They're boys. They're boys off the court. Like, that's real. That's 100. That's not... Oh, can they play together? They can play together. They love each other. They're like, they're one in terms of the NBA circles. That's one of his, like, Harden, from what I've heard, is like one of his best friends. And then you saw them play together in Oklahoma, and Harden was usually the facilitator, even with Russ and Durant, when all of them on the court together, Harden was the facilitator. And if you watch the game so far in Brooklyn, it's the same way. Harden's been the facilitator, and KD is still eating. Like, KD looks unstoppable. KD looks like KD, and Harden is still getting his buckets. He still finds his places where he dribbles the ball enough, but he's not dribbling the ball a lot or pounding the ball a lot. So to me, Harden and Kevin Durant can definitely work together, and to me alone, them alone can get them a championship. To be real with you, and now you're adding the caveat of Kyrie Irving. What is Kyrie Irving, and how is Kyrie Irving and James Harden going to play? Because they're both point guards in the essence. Like, Harden is a two. And he definitely scores like a two, but he gets people involved like a one. And you got Kyrie. Then you got Kyrie, a guy who loves the ball in his hand and is a scorer. So I'm just interested to know how that's going to work.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult unless one of them really chooses to defer. And right now, based on what I've seen from Harden, because Harden has been a playmaker and he has been creating opportunities for his teammates. So Kyrie Irving coming back, and Kyrie Irving clearly struggling mentally. I don't know if you saw his Zoom press conference earlier, but he's still not 100% there mentally. I feel as though Kyrie needs to be the one right now to defer. I understand it's your hometown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand that you probably were the one that drove KD to come to Brooklyn. However, with where he is and the headspace he's in, I would let Harden be the playmaker. And Kyrie, you can still go to work. Also, if you're Steve Nash, you have to be creative with your lineup. He has the hardest job. We've all been hearing that since this acquisition occurred of James Harden. And brother, trust me, if he does it right, it will work to a charm because, again, you can mix and match your lineups. There are times where you can leave Harden in with the second unit. You know, yeah. Harden is the most durable of three. Yeah. And that's what I would do. But it's going to be interesting to see what Nash does.
It is. It's definitely going to be interesting. So how does that's flip it to Oladipo. How does this deal affect our PG's own Oladipo? Do you envision the Rockets building around Oladipo and John Wall?
Bro, so I am wrestling with this because if you go to Golden State and say, hey, are you going to build around Weissman right now? They're going to say, heck no, we got Steph. We expect Klay to come back. We see KD's success after his surgery. We expect Klay to come back and be Klay. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if Oladipo and John Wall are Klay and Steph. And I'm thinking you might need to build around Wood because Wood is rare in today's game. Mm. A big, if he continues to put up the numbers that he's been putting up so far,
yeah.
I think you build around him. Look at where the 76ers go wrong. Embiid should be the man that you feed the ball and crush time. Yeah. When you do that, normally the 76ers win.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly Brett Brown was trying to play a different style of basketball that just wasn't good for a rare big man. Again, the game today is obviously what it is. It's fast-paced. It's shoot. It's stretch fives. But, dude, and to me, Christian Wood could kind of play that role. I'm thinking that if he continues at this pace and improving the way he does, that you could build around him. Oladipo and Wall, two guys with serious injury history, the jury's still out, and that's why I'm struggling. Even though, of course, I'm fans of both. They're super talented. But right now, if Wood continues this pace, I think you build around him.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I watch Wood, and like his numbers are crazy. But when you watch him, there are limitations with them.
Okay.
There are certain limitations. Like, well, he don't play defense either. Like, you know, his defense. He blocks shots, though, but his defense is kind of light. But that's because he's his light frame, though, real talk. His three-point percentage this season has been spotty. I mean, I think he's shooting like 29%, something like that. But the last game that I watched him play against the Spurs, he was on fire. He was hot. But he, like you said, he's skilled. He's definitely a guy who can score the basketball. Not as efficient as a guy that I would like. I think he's more efficient when he's playing with a point guard like a playmaker like a James Harden, John Wall type of player. Like, so you don't have to – like, I agree with you. If you bring the appropriate point guard, he can get buckets. Because him on the lob, like on the screen and roll for the lob, is almost like an unstoppable play because he does have the ability to pick and pop, and he does have the ability to roll to the basket. So you know what I'm saying? So it's – he you can build around that. You know what I mean? There's some things he can work on in this game to be like that dude. But I do see like there is an avenue for him to be the guy. Like, I won't even like lie about it. There is an avenue for him to be that type of dude.
Absolutely.
But he does need to work on certain things so that can happen sooner rather than later. Because the NBA ain't going to wait for you to be that dude. You know, they're not going to wait for you that long. Like, you gotta be that dude ASAP. You know what I'm saying? So he does have the ability. Don't get it twisted. Like, the dude is athletic. He finishes well around the basket. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a good 3-point shooter from his track record. This season has been kind of iffy, but he is a decent 3-point shooter, and he can stretch and he can roll. Like, he's the main folks thought DeMarcus Cousins was going to start when he signed with the Rockets, and he's not because of how good this kid Woods is.
Yeah. It's an interesting question because both Wall and Oladipo have shown that they can pretty much carry franchises. Wall, I don't care what nobody says. I feel as though he carried the Wizards. I mean, he made all of us forget about the Gilbert Arenas era, how that ended.
Yeah.
And you saw playoff basketball consistently here in Washington, which is we know home team sports, baby, Steve Buckley. We grew up watching Tom Hammonds and Tom Gugliotta. We love Cal Bocchini. He's coaching in the G League now, but it wasn't a lot of playoff basketball right here. Can I go on Liddell Echols? Can I call
you,
man?
Yeah, you can. You can. Yeah. You can do it for me, bro.
Chris Whitney, Michael Adams.
Bro, you can do it. Listen, Don McClain, can we – Kevin Duckworth, can we do this? Do you want to do this?
Listen, brother. Hey, you the man. You the man. Listen,
that's the reason. Not Mark, but Brent. Do you want to do this?
So what Wall achieved here was – phenomenal, bro. And what Oladipo achieved in and Indiana post Paul George was for not just post Paul George. That was Roy Hibbert's team as well. Yeah, that was a tough team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to name everybody, but I'm just saying these guys have shown that they could be cornerstones, I believe.
Yeah.
It's just the injury history that worries me. And I'm wondering how they're going to complement each other. Will they look like Wall and Bill did? We'll see.
Yeah, I liked how
Bill's a better shooter than Oladipo.
Yeah, Bill's a better shooter. I think Oladipo is a guy. Oladipo's a better defender. I think if we're going to look at what Oladipo does better than Bill, like Oladipo has always been a decent defender, even coming out of college. Oladipo coming back from the injury, I think they lost to the Bulls last night. I think he had like 30 plus. Not coming back from the injury, but finally playing with the Rockets, he had like 30. I want to say I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, Oladipo had 32 points. And, you know, he's still trying to get his feet wet in terms of coming back from that injury last season. To me, if you get the Oladipo from Indiana, with John Wall, and if they can have, and it's all about rapport, right? We talk about chemistry. We talked about that with the Brooklyn Nets. It's going to take time. But if they can, you know, if they work well together, and it's going to be a better playing situation, right? Compared to what John Wall had to deal with James Harden, because that team, James Harden didn't want to be there. It is what it is. It's going to be a better playing environment for the coach to coach his basketball team, because you can see already, even though, you know, they lost a couple games, the morale with the team is quite different compared to when James Harden was there. It's just a different, if you watch him play ball, they're just totally different. So you want to see how Wood, Oladipo and Wall play together. If they can play with chemistry, this team can win some basketball games. And now you can gauge what you want to do for the future. And then you got all these first round picks. So either way, you're going to know what you got.
The West is stacked though, bro.
Yeah,
the West,
bro, it is
stacked. And if you include a healthy CJ McCollum and Dame, I don't even know if this is close to the best backcourt in the Western Conference. So it's going to be tough to say what they can build around these two and win in the West, because right now it looks as though they're not going to make the playoffs, even though we expect a couple teams to drop out of that top eight. But you also have Denver on the outside looking in right now, and we expect that to change. Denver's just too good. They'll get Michael Porter Jr. back.
Yep.
So, dude, it is going to be tough, and you're going to have to build a team that threatens the franchises there at the top. The two LA franchises clearly come to mind. And right now, with Walt Oladipo, and with all due respect to them, you talking about Kawhi and PG,
oh my
LeBron,
God, it's too tough,
and AD.
It's too tough.
You know, it's not going to work. You're going to have that team concept, which Golden State proved that, you know, chemistry, which you just mentioned, goes a long way, man, along with the talent.
And also hard work, man. I watched the Warriors come back from a 19-point lead against the Lakers last night, and that was hard work and grit, dog. That was hard work and grit. They're not the Warriors team of old, but they work harder. Like I don't know how they work harder, and you see it. And I think that in today's NBA, if you are hustling for every play, you're putting that defensive determination out there on the court, you can compete in a bunch of NBA games. There are a lot of talented NBA players, but not a lot of guys who work extra hard in the NBA. So I think you outwork somebody, you have an opportunity to kind of, you know, get some wins under your belt. But, you know, only time will tell. Like the main theme of this show so far is chemistry. So they're going to have to build chemistry. So we'll talk about the NFL playoffs after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Aegis. You dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy, myself, Wole, Will Tease Out. We're part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. All right. So over the weekend in the NFC divisional round, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeated the New Orleans Saints 30-20 to advance to the NFC championship game. Ray, I have a question for you. Hold on. There you go. I think I got disconnected. There we go. Ray, I got a question for you. Sean Payton make a big mistake by keeping Drew Brees in the game instead of going with Jameis Winston?
Okay, so full disclosure here real quick, just between you and I know everybody's listening, but I still got to say this. When you text me and you said Brees' arm looks much weaker, I, unfortunately, was out picking up food, of course. I had to pick up dinner. I had to ride all the way to Daggum Brandywine to get – well, not all the way. I don't live that far. Anyway. So I at the time, had no clue what you were talking about.
Okay.
Still, of course, that's why I was like, his arm ain't never been that strong. You know, that was my response. Anywho, I get home and I turn on the TV. Everybody watching that game clearly saw that Drew Brees did not have any arm strength. I mean, I could have got the ball downfield better than he did. So, of course, you let the legend go out on his terms. It hurt to watch. It reminds me of Bernard Hopkins getting knocked through the rope in his last fight. You know, it reminds you of Miguel Cotto fighting with that grotesque injury. In his last fight, it hurts, but when you accomplish so much in your career, you earn that right. However, if your goal was to win a Super Bowl as a franchise,
that's the
Sean
thing.
Payton, brother, you definitely left. And Jameis comes in and throws a beautiful ball. you still don't put that man in.
Yo, that's the thing that got me, Ray. It wasn't – I agree with you. I get – like, that's Drew Brees, man. That's a Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats. I get it. But it's a team game, man. And you got the second seed of the NFC for a reason, bro. Like, your goal is to win a championship. It isn't to worry about one's ego. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you a prime example. Tom Brady, the year that he won the Super Bowl. Drew Bledsoe was one of the best quarterbacks in the league at that particular point in time. Like, he was a top tier quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
And he got healthy and he won. Matter of fact, he had won them a game. He won them a game in the postseason. He was like, Coach Belichick was like, you know what? I still feel that Tom Brady gives me the best chance to win. He could have been like, you know what? I owe you, Drew. Like, we owe you to give you this opportunity to win, to be the starting quarterback in this Super Bowl game. You know what I mean? But he went with Tom Brady. You know, and the rest is history.
Sometimes you gotta make those difficult decisions. Yeah. Now, we're not always talking about legends in these examples, but I'll give you another one. I'll give you two more. Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner wasn't supposed to be the starter on that Rams team.
Yep. No, he wasn't.
It was supposed to be Trent Green.
Yep.
But you had to ride the hot hand. Mm-hmm. Michael Vick came in and took Kevin Cole's spot because Andy Reid said, I can't take this dude out. Mm-hmm. He's playing too well. Kaepernick, Alex Smith, a former first-round pick, had really done anything wrong to that point. But Harbaugh thought, Jim thought, that at the time, Kaepernick was a better option than Alex Smith.
Very good point.
Sometimes you have to do what you have to do. Now, again, people will argue, well, Drew Brees is a legend. I totally agree with that. I'm just saying, what was the goal for the franchise?
There you go.
Was it to let Brees go on his own terms, or was it to win? And I guarantee if you ask ownership, their answer is, well, we always want to win, but we love Drew. So there was a conflict.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because you can see, like, Tampa played it to a point where they weren't scared of him going deep. They were, and that's wild to say that, because Drew Brees will always will test your secondary. Like, he will throw it up, you know what I mean, to show you, you know what, I'm going to take shots down the field. And he wasn't able to do that. And I'm just saying, like, that limited a Sean Payton offense to a point where, you know, he gave up big picks and interceptions and pretty much help Tampa win the football game. It wasn't that Brady was great in that game, because Brady didn't have the greatest game in the world either. But, you know, when Drew Brees and that New Orleans offense is making a bunch of mistakes, it made it easy for Tampa to pull off a win on the road to advance to the NFC Championship game. All right, so Ray, the Bucks now are taking on the Packers. The Packers, they beat the Rams, I think 18-32 at Lambeau to advance to the NFC, to also advance to the NFC Championship game. Does Brady have what it takes? Can he shock? Can, to me, shock the world and beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau? Because right now, Aaron Rodgers look like the hottest thing since sliced bread.
Oh, no question. But what scares me is Brady and Bruce Arians being considered underdogs. Mm. Man, I love Bruce Arians. I love Bruce Arians, brother. I love the way he stands up for his guys. Mm-hmm. And remember who was coach? Well, yo, I'm telling you, if you put Brady in that situation, I just feel like he relishes the fact that not only are you counting him out because Rodgers is hot, but also because it's going to be freezing cold.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Green Bay. So he's coming into the game. In my eyes, for him to be a legend and be an underdog, mm-hmm. licking his chops for this one, but you still got to play the game.
Yeah, you still got to play the game.
That Green Bay defense, as we've seen with every defense in this league, if you can get after Brady, and especially in this weather, and with his weapons being hobbled,
yeah,
I believe that Brady has a very slim chance to win this game. But, of course, he is the GOAT. You have to give him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Arians was the coach of the Cardinals when they went to the Super Bowl. Correct?
Yep.
Or was it Wizenhunt? Or was
no,
it
no, no. It's Bruce Arians. You're right. It's Bruce Arians. He was the coach.
It was Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
And look at what they did as underdogs all the way to, man, it took an amazing throw from Ben
mm-hmm.
to put the Steelers over the top that game. So, bro, I'm not going to count these dudes out, but I'm leaning toward Green Bay. I haven't officially made my choice yet. Because it's Brady and Arians.
Yeah, I have Green Bay winning. I just think that the way A-Rod is playing, like I haven't seen him play at such a high level. Like I mean, he's been great, but he's been playing in an amazing level, and it's everything's clicking. And his wide receivers aren't the greatest wide receivers in the world. They really aren't. Other than Devontae Adams, like there's a like he makes them dudes look good. Like he makes them look better. Not say look good. He makes them look better. But he's been so pinpoint accurate. It's to me just like Brady, you know. Just like Brady, he thrives in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, and this is a, and he looks for competition at the highest level. And I'm telling you, knowing that Brady's on the other side, just like Brady's looking at him, he's like, bruh, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna show you that I'm better than you. These two dudes are going to compete against each other. Now, granted, they're not really competing against each other because they're competing against the opposing defenses, but they are competing against each other mentally. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta give Matt LaFleur some love though.
That
bro.
Too, yeah, bro.
Gotta give some love
Washington
to your
football
former
team.
Washington
I knew it.
Guy
yeah, you
because.
Mm-hmm.
All the talk about the young and up-and-coming coaches, McVay is the first name that is mentioned often. You know, at one point it was Josh McDaniels out in New England.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt LaFleur, it seems like he doesn't get credit because of what of what he was given or the situation that he went into. But dude is awesome. I feel it's going to be a good chess match between him and Arians.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing coach. To me, Aaron Rodgers he was still doing Aaron Rodgers stuff, but he wasn't accomplishing this in terms of what this team is doing. Like this team is more balanced.
I know, MVP
because of
discussion.
Yeah, this team is more balanced because of McFleur, like LaFleur, and this team isn't just Aaron Rodgers. It's a lot. It's like the running backs. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's the tight ends. It's the offensive line, the improved offensive line. It's the play calling. Like this team is doing more as a unit offensively than they've ever done because it used to be Aaron, go play a street ball with that football. Like hey, just scramble, you know what I'm saying? Stall some time and then make the perfect pass. You know what I'm saying? Now it's more structure to what Green Bay's offense has been in the past. So yeah, I think I'm with you. This dude has been amazing for this team. So let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens lost a tough one to the Buffalo Bills, 17-3, in the AFC divisional round. Lamar Jackson threw a tough pick, a pick six in the red zone to pretty much end the Ravens' chances of winning that football game. In the future, what does Lamar need to get over the hump?
Man, that is such a good question. First of all, we focus in on Lamar because he's the face of the franchise. He makes the spectacular plays, and he's earned the right to become the face of the franchise. Most of the time, the quarterback is. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, you always have guys who contribute, but the quarterback is the face. And, again, Lamar's earned that right. However, it's about what's around Lamar, I believe, that's going to get him over the hump. Because, look, people are going to say, oh, he needs to get better as a passer. And trust me, there are areas that he can improve upon. But there are some things about his game that aren't going to change at this stage of his career. Yeah. He's been playing a certain way his entire life. It's just something like people try to change or coaches try to change Tim Tebow. It wasn't going to happen. It's just certain attributes, you know, certain guys have and some guys don't. So Lamar does not need to be the greatest passer for the Ravens to win. The Ravens played a great game. That pick six obviously made a 14-point game. But other than that, how many points did Buffalo's offense really score? They didn't score a lot.
They didn't do anything. Yeah.
So the defense is always consistent in Baltimore. It's just the weapons on the outside. If you give Lamar, we talk about Washington needing some help with the receiver. The Ravens not only need a number two, they need a number one. Hollywood is a really good number two, probably actually, but yeah. They need a number one receiver. They need a consistent running game as well.
Yeah, I think that. See, I like Hollywood a lot. I like Hollywood a lot. Actually, it's funny because I do like Hollywood a lot.
Of course.
I think Hollywood.
He's not number one on Washington.
Well, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm gonna be real with you. Nah, you can call me whatever. You know, I don't care. The thing about Hollywood, I put it this way. I think Hollywood would have fantastic numbers if he played with a Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback. Then we would the narrative would be different. The narrative would be different. Like, I know what you're saying. Like a number one. So. And it's not a knock on Lamar. I think Lamar is a fantastic quarterback. It's not a knock on him at all. But I just think that, like, to your point, Ray, I feel like, you know, you just get your offensive coordinator has to be better. And you just got to know what you got. Like, yeah, everybody's not going to be Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's not going to be Brady. Everybody's not going to be Breeze. Everybody's not going to be Patrick Mahomes as a passer. Everybody's not those individuals. If everybody could be that individual, then they would be that individual. All right. Lamar is blessed with a skill set that can still win you championships. You know what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
If you give him talent, you give him enough talent to fit his skill set, then yeah, you can definitely get him over the hump. I know, and someone mentioned this in a Facebook group. I think it's called, it's a Ravens Facebook group, but they said pretty much Lamar won a playoff game. To me, that was his next step because he didn't win a playoff game. He won a playoff game. So to me, that's his next step. That he completed that step. Now it's about, you know, doing what this team expects. This team expects to win Super Bowls, go to Super Bowl, win a championship. And I think Lamar can do that. To me, he's still young. There's time. Like, I have all faith in Lamar. We haven't seen the best of Lamar Jackson, period. You know what I'm saying? We haven't seen the best
of him. I'm with my Baltimore family yesterday, mm-hmm. and their argument was, Joe Flacco achieved more with less at receiver than the Ravens currently have.
Yeah, they're different.
And I didn't necessarily agree with that because Todd Heat was one of the top tight ends in the league, and that defense was a historic defense.
Yeah, it's still different.
But I do believe that the Ravens are not far off collectively.
Yeah. In the Facebook group, it's called Ravens.
You need to add a receiver. You can argue Marquise Brown is a number one. Maybe he is a number one.
I don't,
but you're still going to have other pieces to fit around Marquise Brown at the receiver position.
No, I agree. I'm not saying Marquise Brown is a number one. I think the jury's still out on Marquise Brown. Put it that way. I just feel like
– He's talented.
He's wide open, bro. He get open, man. He get open. Like, he do get open.
He's so fast. He's so fast.
But you do – I know what you're saying. Like,
but his hands aren't there. His hands. Now, you talk about – what's his name in Seattle? You talk about DK Metcalf's hands.
Oh, yeah. He's not made –
Hollywood has dropped.
Yeah, I believe you.
That's another issue.
Yeah, I believe you. I'm not knocking. I'm not saying that he can't. I'm not saying he's a number one. I just think the jury's still out on him. Like, I think if you put him on a different squad, like when a passing oriented squad,
oh, he's a baller.
He could be a baller. I'm just saying, like,
this.
But again, that's not Lamar. Like, I hate when people try to make somebody into something they're not. Like, not every like. It took, and he's not. That's not Lamar now. It took Russ how many years to be this guy? Like, Russ wasn't throwing for 300 yards. You know what I'm saying? He was throwing for 200 yards, and now he's a 300, 400 yard passer. So he's still young. He's still evolving. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
See, to me, his skill set is different, though. I feel as though Russ has better mechanics I feel as though Russ is just Russell Wilson, by the way. I just feel as though he's just a better quarterback and multi and many different facets. Lamar is just an amazing athlete.
Yeah.
Bottom line, that happens to play the quarterback position and improves every year.
He improves every year. But, that's, yeah, he does.
But he does not have that passer ability that can carry a team, a la some of the greater quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning always comes to mind as a man that could camouflage a bad defense.
Yeah.
Even Tom Brady, of course, could play on New England teams that had meh type of talent.
Exactly.
He was just that good, you know. So, and nobody is asking Lamar to be that guy. Like I said, I feel as though the focus and the criticism falls too much onto him when, you know, he's not always given the right opportunity. You mentioned offensive coordinator. That's another area that the Ravens, of course, have to look at.
Yeah, they should. I think they're doing – I'm with you. He gets too much of the blame.
How you use the run game.
How you use the run game. That too.
Yeah.
That definitely. So, again, so in a tough AFC divisional playoff matchup, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Cleveland Browns 22-17. Patrick Mahomes got knocked out the game with a concussion. Do you think he plays Sunday in the AFC championship game against the Bills? And if he doesn't, are the Bills the favorites?
Of course, the Bills are the favorite if he does not play. Although what I saw from Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy shows that they have faith in the guys, and you still have the most amazing weapons in the league with Kelce and Tyreek Hill. So you don't necessarily have to deviate that much from your gameplay, but also it creates the element of the unexpected. Look at two guys, two four stringers we watched in Baltimore and in Washington come in and have success in the playoffs. If you're now preparing for Chad Henne, you don't know what you're going to expect, and that's hard to game plan for. And on the flip side, of course, Mahomes is Mahomes.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say the Bills are heavily favored in Mahomes at the play because you still have to game plan for the best tight end receiver tandem in the league.
Yeah, I still think Kansas City will still take that win. I just feel like they still have a lot of talent in terms of the skill positions to kind of get a W in this game. I'm thinking that Sammy Watkins will probably play in that game, so they'll get an added player because he didn't play against.
They don't finish drives well, if you ask me, though.
They don't either. They don't. Well. Kansas City in general, they don't. I agree. They just don't. They don't.
Yep.
I totally agree. All right, the NHL season is back, and the Caps are 2-0-1. Right now, they are tied with the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-4. I don't know if the Caps play defense. I ain't going to lie to you. WNST's Capitals insider Ed Frankovic will join the show to talk of Caps after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For Aegis, you dig. Deuces. I thought Will was here. I don't know why. Hey, Ed.
Conception, not transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new
everybody,
weapon?
A lot of people contemplate, hate all
I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a show up.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Ray Jeezy, and Will T is out. Part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. I think we were online. I think I was on when I was talking after the break. Sorry, if y'all heard that whole conversation, I apologize. All right, right now we have WNST's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the line. What's going on, Ed, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to my fellows at the Urban Sports Scene. So good to be talking with you guys again, man.
Oh, it's awesome, man. I haven't talked to you. We haven't talked to you in a while. It's good to talk Caps. Yeah. I think I'm going to let Ray have the first question because he called me out during the break because he wanted it, so he got it.
Well, and I wanted to ask a general question, and in part, or not just in part, largely to educate our listeners. Because I really can't say where the NHL and hockey as a sport ranks here in the States. Now, globally, it's a different story. But I know that Gary Bettman comes out. He says that the league and its clubs will lose billions with a B just to stage this 2021 season, what impact will that have on the NHL moving forward? Like, is it popular enough globally in order to sustain these types of losses, or is this like going to be a major, major problem moving forward for the league?
Well, first off, I have a hard time believing Gary when he says they're going to lose billions because the TV deal in Canada is like ridiculous. Mm. They're making a ton of money off that. So, and I think their hope is still that they're going to get fans in the building in the playoffs, right? In May or something. In some places, right? I mean, there are already fans in some spots. So I don't know that I believe what Gary's saying, but what's going to happen is basically, well, the players are taking reduced salaries, right, because you're playing 56 games instead of 82. So I'm not buying it. I mean, I do – they are going with alternate streams of revenue with the, you know, the ads on the helmets and things like that. So they're trying to make it up. It's definitely a fan-generated league, but that TV contract out of Canada is massive.
Mm.
No follow-up, Ray? You don't have a follow-up, Ray?
Oh, well, no. That's why I asked. See, the average – I want to say the casual hockey fan wouldn't know that this TV deal in Canada is mad. That's why I felt as though globally this could be sustained, because hockey is big in Canada. It's big in Russia. It's big in other countries, but it's not as big here. And it's interesting to hear that you don't necessarily trust the words of Gary Bettman. I don't know much about him personally. You know, I don't follow him as closely as I follow other commissioners. But I just want to get that – perspective from you, because I'm looking at other sports like Taliotis is losing big. He was already losing money on the Wizards, and I feel like the Capitals was his cash cow, so it just sucks.
TV contract's pretty good too, so I don't know if I buy what Ted's saying either. He is losing money now with nobody in this building.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. All right, so I want to talk about the Caps. Let's go with the Caps now. The Caps right now are 2-0-1 so far. And I mean, right now they're playing the Penguins, and it's 4-4, and they had a 3-1 lead. How would you grade their defense?
Well, I think this is a multiple answer. I like what they did in the offseason, okay, getting Zdeno Chara from Boston, and I like getting Justin Schultz from Pittsburgh. I think they've got way better personnel on the back end, and they played pretty good defense early. Tonight's game, you guys were on the air. There was a great first period. The second period was a crap show. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I saw it. I watched it. I was doing both. I watched it.
So the Caps are up 4-2. Mm-hmm. They're up 4-2. They got a 5-on-3 power play. They call a timeout. They win the faceoff. Ovi takes a shot. Now it is Ovi, but I think it was an ill-advised shot. I would have set it up and tried to work it in lower. But then Pittsburgh clears the puck. I hadn't seen this in years, but Carlson on a 5-on-3, instead of carrying the puck into the zone, dumps it in. The Penguins goalie is very good with his stick and shoots it down. And the Penguin guy gets a breakaway behind Ovi and makes it 4-3. Mm-hmm. Two men down. So the Penguins have 4 goals tonight. 3 of them are on special teams, 2 power play, and 1 shorthanded. So the Capitals' defense is better, but their special teams are killing them in Pittsburgh tonight. So I think the defense is going to be better this year, better personnel with Chara and Schultz back there.
So you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of the Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. Right now we're wrapping with WNST's Caps insider Ed Frankovic. So speaking of goalie, you know I love goalie. Hopi's gone. So who is your favorite between the two young goaltenders?
Well, Samsonov was a first-round pick in 2015, so he has to be the guy. He did have that horrible mistake where he rode an ATV apparently and injured himself, and he has not looked consistent in the first 2 games. And that middle game, Vanecek actually stole in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Now, Vanecek's having some issues tonight. The first goal was really weak that he let up. He didn't control the rebound.
Yeah,
I can't fault him on the second because the Penguins scored on a 5-on-3. And then the last two, one was the breakaway on the 5-on-3. Hard to fault him there. And then the last one is Gensel standing right in front of the net. He can't see the shot. So Vanecek has been good. He stole him a win in Buffalo. I've always liked him. I think Samsonov is the natural one you would say should be the number one, given that he was a first-round pick. But Vanecek's going to make it difficult. And in this season, with 56 games, a lot of 4 games and 5 nights, three games in four nights, you're going to need two goalies. They're both going to have to play well.
So, okay, so, because I'm trying to, so in this game here, so what's the, basically in this game here, the only issue is the penalty kill? The penalty kill?
Well, they took bad penalties, okay. So yeah, they gave up a 5-on-3 goal, mm-hmm. and then the power play was the big thing. You're up 4-2, you got a 2-man advantage on the power play, and what do? You give up a breakaway to make it 4-3. So you, instead of going 5-2, it's 4-3. So just not really smart hockey. The guy running the power play, Blaine Forsythe, has been with George McVie and then Brian McClellan here for a lot of years. At some point, he's got to be moved out if this continues where they keep making these mistakes on the power play. And because that's his job. His job is the power play. And right now, that's costing them in this hockey game.
Would you say it's lack of concentration or overall coaching?
Overall coaching. Okay. I mean, come on. John Carlson's got to be. I mean, I didn't like that the faceoff. The faceoff was really quick and they tried a 45-foot shot of Ovi. Now, granted, it's Ovi with the best shot in the league, but from 45 feet out with a 5-on-3, you really want to move that in closer like Pittsburgh did and get a tap in, right? Because you're going to have passing lanes and you can move in close. And then just to dump it in on a 5-on-3, I mean, I don't know. John Carlson's got to know better than that. I don't know if the coaches are telling him to do that, but 5-on-3, you have all that room coming across the blue line. They're backing up. You should be able to carry that in and set it up. So that was a huge mistake.
So I want to go offense now. I want to talk with my guy Cousy. Cousy, obviously we all know about Cousy's great Stanley Cup run to help the Caps win the championship, win the Stanley Cup. Is it Cousy's time to now become a star? You know, he's borderline. He's even after that season still been borderline. He still hasn't to me. I feel like he's underachieved. Is now the right time? And I know he started off a little slow, but tonight he's got his first goal of the season. But is it his time now?
It has to be. It has to be, guys. And you're absolutely right. He has underachieved since that run. We saw what he could do under Barry Trotz and Lane Lambert. Lane Lambert is a great forwards coach, went with Barry to seem to reach Cousy. He got Cousy to play at the level he needed to play at. He has all the talent in the world, but he tends to be flaky and very inconsistent. And that first 10 games of the next season, he was good. Mm-hmm. And since then, he has vastly underachieved. Tonight, I agree. He's going to the net. He's making good plays. He could have two goals. He's got one. Mm-hmm. He needs to be consistent. He can't be this guy that's one of every four, one of every five, one of every six or seven games. He needs to be consistent from period to period. And so far, this Caps team this year has been very inconsistent from period to period. Mm-hmm. They basically played 20 minutes a night so far. They had a great first period, and the second period was awful. Kuznetsov has got to step up. They want to go anywhere in the playoffs. He's got to be the guy because Backstrom's going to do the first line. Eller's a good third line. But they got to have Kuznetsov running that second line. And if they don't, they're not going anywhere.
I agree. At least Tom Wilson's stepping up. He has two goals tonight, three goals for the season, I believe. So Tom Wilson's a guy who's definitely stepping up.
Yeah, he's the heart and soul of the team, to be honest. You nailed that one. The players love him. He plays hard. He hits. He's physical. He kills penalties. He's a real team guy. He's a future captain. If Ovi ever retires, he'll be the next captain. He has blossomed into it. Last year, he blossomed into a high-end player, close to a star in this league. No doubt about it.
Definitely. Hey, well, Ed, thanks for being on. We're going to try to get you throughout the season, and hopefully we got a repeat of what we had a couple years ago.
Would love to. Anytime you guys want me, I'm on. I'll happily go on the Urban Sports team, man. You guys are my guys.
I appreciate you, Ed. You have a blessed one. Thanks for being on.
Talk some Ravens too, Ed.
We'll talk some Ravens too.
Yeah, we will. We're gonna watch this offseason. Get some receivers.
Definitely. All right, Ed. You take care.
You too, guys.
All right, but that is Ed Fragovic from the WNXT network. Ed is the Washington Caps insider. So make sure again you go on WNXT.net. You check out Ed's articles. Ed writes for that particular website. All right, man. We already kind of made. I made my NFL championship picks on the show. I kind of already said who I thought was going to win the game. But you can check our picks officially out at the Football Garbage Time website, which is www.footballgarbagetime.com. is part of the Urban Sports Scene Football Garbage Time Challenge. Will T's in second place. Ray is in sixth place, and I'm in eighth place. It's been a hard drop. Anyway, Football Garbage Time times Hakun Wong is in first place, and the homie George is now tied for third place. Hey, so make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And make sure you check out Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com for all your DMV sports content. Appreciate everybody for listening to the show. Always appreciate my homie Ray Jeezy. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie.